The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. And the guy that's going to help you keep it running is in the form of Dan Burns, who is an ASC certified technician. You can find Dan all the time, at least much of the time, at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Maybe sometimes more than you want to be there.
Well,
you're a busy guy.
I'm a busy guy. I probably am not.
Like,
I'm probably not there more than I want.
You like the work.
I like the work.
You have for a long time.
Yeah.
That's good. So, that keeps you healthy.
I say that. I get down and up and down off the floor 30 times a day, you know, setting the hoist to lift up a car.
So. You don't have to go work out.
No, that's what I call it, my workout. In fact, as sore as I am most nights when I get home, I figure that's been a good workout today.
Yeah, so, that's true. Right.
Yeah.
Help a lot of people. You help everybody here on CCO.
You know, my father-in-law used to say that if you when my wife would go out running or something, he said, if you want some exercise, I got plenty to do out in the barnyard.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Dan has helped us out here on CCO, helped you out for many, many years, 25, I think we figure. If you have any kind of a car care question, call it in or text it in, but keep in mind, don't wait because Dan is with us till about 7:45. And making way for Jack Farrell then. So call now or send a text if that's easier. Here's our phone number. Folks are already calling in. 651-989-9226. Send a text at 81807 if that's easier. And if you need to take your vehicle into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, call Dan or text Dan. He'll give you some idea of what might be wrong with your vehicle. All right? So call us or text us. You and I were talking before we went on about tire pressure. And a couple of my cars, well, Tony's and mine, both show the pressure, the PSI, mm-hmm. on each tire. The other one does not. It just will give you a light if it's low.
Right.
And I thought I was driving back from Mankato Thursday thinking, wait a minute, this looks like it's... There's too much friction on the pavement, and it's and I thought, is there too much pressure? Had I put too much air in those tires?
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
I never used to think about that.
You shouldn't. First of all, quit looking. Turn that off. Screen off and look at something more interesting. But
how about the road while I'm driving?
Yeah, how about the road while you're driving? But the truth is that does not surprise me at all. That as a tire warms up, as oxygen warms up, it expands, and of course that's going to raise the pressure inside your tires. So it does not surprise me that it goes up 3 or 4 psi from driving. And if you read the label on the door of your car carefully, it says cold pressure. So that's what it wants on, or that's how much air it wants in it when it's cold. And now I don't know if they mean Minnesota cold pressure.
Well, that's a good point.
But at any rate, this time of year, people are lined up at our door. Will you check the air in my tires because my light is on?
Yeah.
Which, of course, you know, we do several a day, and they're always low, and that's very normal. You know, the opposite has happened now. We set the tires to a cold pressure when it was 90 degrees out, and now the temperature is down 60 degrees, and, of course, the pressure is going to drop. That's just normal. That's physics. That's the way it goes.
And so, if your wheels have corrosion or oxidation where the tire meets the...
If it leaks, that's
another issue.
But I'm saying even if it doesn't leak, there's going to be variables.
It drops.
It just happens. So that's just the way it goes. And don't be over-concerned.
All right.
Two things about that. Number one is you will find that those readouts are very accurate.
Interesting.
You can trust that.
Huh.
And secondly, if your light goes on, believe it. It means that your tires are low and they need attention. Well, if you wait too long, you're going to have a flat tire.
Yeah.
So, don't do that. If your light goes on, bring it to me or somebody and have it taken care of.
Let's go to the phones. I think Monica, it's funny we're talking about tires. I think Monica may have a question about tires. Monica, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a 2004 Escape, and I got it back from the dealership. They had to realign the front end because they misaligned it for the last 4 months. I've been driving that way. So when I went to pick the car up, they said the tires were cupped. They're not, and they explained it, it's not as round as they should be. So then they said, eventually I should need to replace my tires, But now that they're realigned correctly, they may reverse themselves. So I need your comment on that. And then how am I as a driver supposed to know if and when they reverse back to normal, and how the upcoming weather impacts driving, stopping with cupped wheels? And then my last one was the PSI. It's supposed to be 30 in my car, and I noticed about a week after I got it back, the front tires were set at 35, and I put them back to 30, but again, with the cupped tires, maybe they purposely put them up to 35.
Good questions.
They are good questions. First of all, don't worry about the cupped tires. There's a very good chance that now that the alignment is correct, that they'll get smooth again. And that's all that's wrong is the tires are, first of all, it's not going to affect, unless they're severely cupped, but if they're slightly cupped, it's not going to affect the performance at all. It'll be just fine. It's the tires are just not quite as flat as they would normally be. They have a wear pattern that gets worn into them. It's a very, very common wear pattern. We look for that wear pattern to see if maybe there's some front-end problems if the suspension parts aren't working correctly. But there's a good chance that it'll get flat. If it doesn't, that's fine, too. It'll just the tires will just continue to wear until it's time to get new tires, and it'll be fine. The only thing is if the cupping gets worse, you might start to hear them. That's what the people come in complaining about,
noisy
a growl
tires,
from
yeah.
their tires. And if there's a growl from the tires, the cupping is what causes that. So, and how can you tell by looking at it? If you rub your hand across it in one direction, it'll feel like it's smooth. And if you run your hand back in the other direction, you'll feel ridges.
Mm.
And so when you don't feel ridges in either direction, that's how you know if it's perfectly smooth. And with regards to the tire pressure, put the tire pressures exactly at the pressures that are marked on your door jam or on the door, the driver's door. Somewhere it tells you how much air to put in the tires. Put that much air in the tires, and they'll be just fine.
Okay. All right, Monica. Good luck with that. Dan is calling from Clear Lake with a question. Dan, you're on the air with Dan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
So you got a 2003 Crown Victoria. Was looking to put snow tires on it. How important is it to put snow tires on all four tires as opposed to just the rear wheel tires?
Well, I mean, it's fine. I shouldn't say it's fine. They certainly recommend all four. Back in the day, with a rear wheel drive vehicle, we used to put snow tires on the back of the car, and that's mostly because the tire technology wasn't advanced enough to where you could put them on the front and they'd steer and handle and work properly. Now technology has changed on tires, so it is very possible and actually recommended that you put snow tires on all four wheels. And I would recommend that also. If you put them on just the rear, certainly you'll have better traction and you'll get where you're going, but it'll do nothing to help with stopping or steering. And that's, to me, just as important. If I'm going to get going, I want to be able to stop properly,
point.
Too. So
that's a good point.
I think that if you're going to do it and it's a good idea, then you should invest in get all four.
All right. Good luck, Dan. Thank you. I want to take Bruce's call next, and then we'll grab some text messages after the break. But let's see. Bruce, what is your question for Dan?
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Dan, the last two times I've filled the car with gas, the following morning when I go to start it, it starts extremely rough. It's almost like it's chugs, like kind of reminds me of my snowblower, actually, when I started. And it's a 2011 Hyundai Genesis Coupe, and I'm wondering, could it be I'm getting some moisture in the gas tank, or I don't know what it is.
Yeah, is your check engine light on or no?
Yeah, it did come on.
Yeah, so that's where your problem is. The gas tank system is supposed to be a sealed system, and part of the control of that sealed system is a vacuum with the engine. If one of those valves isn't closing properly, when you're filling the car with gas, it's actually getting some gas, at least vapors, possibly some liquid even, into the engine or into that system. And then when you park the car, that fuel drips into the engine until that vacuum system gets cleaned out properly. And so it actually is flooded when you're starting the car. So if you deal with your check engine light, that will take care of your starting problem after you get gas.
Take it in.
Yeah.
All right. We have to take a quick break here. When we come back, Dan, let's grab some text messages. There's a bunch of those that have come in. We don't want to forget about that. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, which is located where on Grand Avenue?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call. Not today. We're gone for,
today, for
the holiday weekend.
But you are open generally.
Most Saturday mornings we're open, at 651-228-1316.
Right.
Made me wonder why I dressed for work this morning.
Well, it's habit after all these years.
Isn't that funny? Here I show up in my work clothes, and we're closed, but that's okay.
All right. Well, Dan, we'll mention that, too, how to get in touch with Dan before he leaves. Now, Dan's going to be here for till about 7:45 or so. We have a bunch of text messages and the calls, too. We get this, it seems like, every week. And that question is about aftermarket remote starts. Are they okay and safe? I know you guys at Lloyd's don't do aftermarket stuff.
They must be because there's millions of them on the road. So my recommendation is if your car is very complicated, be careful about putting an aftermarket one in. I think the for me personally, I probably would take it right to the dealership where it can be reprogrammed properly to know that it's that it has a remote start in it. But at any rate, I think they're fine, especially if you have an older, simple car. They work great.
Tom at Lakeview wants to know, I have a 2009 Jeep Compass. Can I use E15 gas in it?
You'd have to check your owner's manual. Actually, your owner's manual will tell you that. Also, sometimes on the gas lid, on the cap itself or on the flap, you know, the door closes, it'll say what gas you should be, the octane rating and the amount of ethanol that's safe. So, but E15, it's not all that common. So you better be careful before you do that check. Right. Do your research.
2007 Avalanche needs a quart and a half of oil after 1,500 miles. Should I be concerned?
Well, you wish that it wasn't doing that, but if you took it into the dealership for warranty, they would say that's just fine. I think that they say if it uses a quart of oil in 500 miles even or 1,000 miles, that's normal wear. And it is you wish it wasn't doing it, but it certainly is not causing any damage, and it is a very small amount of oil to be getting in the engine. And what's happening is as the engine wears somewhere, it's allowing oil to get through a seal or the compression rings or somewhere, and a small amount of oil is being burned. And in 1,500 miles, that quantity of oil isn't going to hurt a thing. It's not going to hurt the converter. It's not going to hurt the engine in any way. So, no, you do not have to be concerned about it. But I understand why you wish that it didn't do that. It's just one more thing you have to keep track of.
I guess.
Right.
2010 Equinox. The electric windows run very slowly when it gets colder. How can I get them to run better?
You know,
would lubrication help?
It does, actually. Some clear silicone spray on that fuzzy foam stuff on the window channels will help. And first of all, clean them. Take a rag and a screwdriver and clean that fuzzy channel. You know what I'm talking about? That goes all the way around the window. Clean that. Sometimes it's rubber. I guess there's some of them are rubber, but a lot of them are that felt. And so clean it good before you do, and then spray some clear silicone spray on a rag, and same thing, put a screwdriver or put the rag over the screwdriver and wipe all of that felt or rubber with spray, and they'll speed up. And, you know, there's just more resistance. And also, the motor will run a little slower in the winter. So a little bit slower would be normal, but certainly cleaning and lubricating the track will help.
Okay, let's go back to the phones, then we'll grab more text messages. Tom is calling from Plymouth with a question. Go ahead, Tom. What's your question?
Thank you. Long-time listener and first-time caller.
Thank you.
I have a 2004 Honda CR-V. and I'm calling about the antifreeze in it. It seems very low. Don't see it. I think it might be blue. I'm wondering, I have some green ethylene glycol around. Can I just add that, or can I mix colors of antifreeze, I guess is my question.
I'm sure you can, but I don't. It seems unprofessional to me to do that. And if you look at my workbench, Denny, you've seen this. I've got five or six different brands and colors of coolant antifreeze.
A rainbow
of colors to take care of all the different cars. So that's, you know, I don't switch them. I probably don't think you should. The manufacturer puts a package, a package of additives with the ethylene glycol and dye, you know, the color to fit their cars. And they want it that way. So I just think it's best policy to stick with what you have and use the right color. Use the right color.
There you go, Tom. Thanks. David, you're going to be next. Hang on. We'll take a quick break here. Be right back with more CCO's Car Care Show. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny along with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Dan, I know we've got a bunch of texts. Let's take David's call, and then I want to grab some text messages. We promised David. David, what's your question, please?
Good morning. I have a 2012 GM pickup, low miles. My right front tire signifies it needs air. It's got 40 pounds in it. How do I get rid of the light?
Well, check the other tires. Did you check all four tires?
I just checked the two front.
Yeah, because on that model of car, when you rotate the tires, unless you reprogram the tires, it doesn't know that which tire is where. In other words, you need to identify where the four tires are, and you need to reprogram it every time you rotate the tires.
Oh, interesting.
If the shop didn't do that, which is very common that they wouldn't, then it's probably your rear tire that's actually low. So if you check the rear tires, that'll probably take care of it. If not, and if you're sure that the air pressure is good in all four tires, then maybe you have a sensor problem that needs attention. But I'll bet you'd have a low back tire.
And we always like to recommend, too, to check if you have a spare.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too. Because not so much on GM.
Oh, I see.
Toyota,
I see.
For sure.
Okay.
They'll have five sensors. The spare tire will also have a sensor. And we just had one Toyota, and it has one of those spare tire covers that are just about impossible to get off when they're cold. And so we had to try and get that cover off to put air in the spare tire because that's what was causing.
That's what was causing interest. Yeah. It's a thought.
Yeah.
All right, David. Thank you. Let's see. We have a bunch of texts. I parked the Mercedes. Texter says for the winter. Should I overinflate the tires while it's parked? If so, by how much?
Well, everybody does that. That's a very common thing to do so that tires don't get a flat bottom on them. But I don't know that the air pressure will actually make much of a difference with that. But a lot of people that store tires do that. And, I'd overinflate it by 10 pounds or something like that. Don't go much over if you look at the side of the tire, there's a maximum pressure. Maybe it's 45 or something like that. I wouldn't go much over that.
Okay.
But I think if you just do that, it'll be fine.
All right, 2001 Subaru Legacy L Wagon. Texter says, it was told that when the tech rotated my tires, he bumped the power steering and somehow air got in there. I was told to just drive it and the air would work its way out. Is that correct? It's a little noisy and annoying.
It could be correct. If you turn the wheels when it's on the hoist like that back and forth a few times, it can aerate the fluid time will allow the bubbles to get out of that system, and that should take care of the noise. If not, we have a fancy tool, and your shop probably does too, where you can apply vacuum to the power steering fluid to the reservoir, and that causes the bubbles to get bigger, and then the bubbles will float to the top, and it'll happen more quickly. But I think just time will take care of that.
We were talking about the texture about the storing of that particular vehicle. You have you store, if you want to call it that, your vehicle when you head out west from time to time.
I do. We missed our last month trip, so my vehicle's been stored at a storage lot near the airport for 2 months now, and I am wondering to myself, I hope it will be okay, because I did nothing to prepare it for the storage.
It's not a heated storage.
No, it's not a heated storage. It's outdoors, and so, which is fine. But, you know, you just wonder after 2 months, will the battery be charged up and all that? So, you know, my advice to people is, if you're going to store your vehicle for a period of time, take some precaution. You know, make sure the pressures are up and the fluids are fine and all that sort of stuff. Store it with a full tank of gas.
Okay.
If it's going to be a really long time, put some gas stabilizer in there so that it'll be fine. But I'll report back next week how mine did for 2 months with no attention at all.
Hope you don't have to call anybody.
Well, I hope so too. We'll see.
Right. Texter says this, Dan, 2014 Chevy Silverado V6, oil pressure about 60 to 70 on colder days. Last winter, usually only about 40 to 50. Is 60 to 70 okay for a colder morning? Oil is a new change with the recommended 5W30.
Yeah, that's fine. Oil pressure will be higher when it's colder, and I wonder if you're just checking it on a colder morning than other, or is your gauge or sending unit off just a little bit? Is it changing a little bit? So keep an eye on it and, you know, pay attention to it. But if oil pressure should be the highest in cold weather in the morning when you first start the vehicle. So I would say that's normal.
All right. Another texter says, let's see if I can find it here. It's a 2005 Ford Crown Vic, 140,000 miles on it. At highway speeds, the car seems to momentarily slip in and out of gear. Also happens at lower speeds, but lessened. Thanks for the help.
Well, that's perhaps not good news. The first thing you want to do is check the fluid. And if the fluid is low or very dirty, fill it up or have it changed and see if that helps. But if it's actually going into neutral, I wonder if the fluid's not low, because that would be the most common problem with that is if the fluid's low. But if the fluid is not low and it's doing that, that's not a good sign. That's kind of catastrophic.
Noticed, and there was a PS here to that text. A texter says they had just replace my transmission mount at the same visit as the oil change and tire rotation.
No, the mount wouldn't have anything to do.
Nothing to do.
That's external. That's just holding it in place. But but check the fluid. See if the fluid is low. I bet it is.
Another comment about aftermarket remote starts. Texter says they're as good as the installer. Customers have to make sure they're installed correctly, or it can be detrimental.
That's a great text. Thank you for that. I should have said that. That's absolutely true. Be very careful who's installing it, because if they do a sloppy job of installation, it can cause some big problems with your car.
93 Dodge Dakota texter says, won't start, not spark or relay issue. What do I do next?
Well, we call that cranks won't start. And in a crank won't start mode, there's, you know, three or four or five ingredients that you need for the car to start. One's the battery, of course. You need spark. You need fuel pressure. You need fuel injector pulse. You need to be sure that the injectors are turning on. You need compression. Any internal combustion engine runs off compression. And you need timing. It needs to be timed properly. And so, if your car comes into our shop and it cranks over and won't start, that's what we check. That's where we start. We check all of the basic ingredients and find out which is missing. And there has to be one missing. And once you know what's missing, then you start down that path to solve that problem. But as far as what's wrong with your car, I have no idea without going through
without
that,
looking
whole
for it.
That whole
We're
test.
Almost out of time, Dan. Let's see if I can grab one more. 2002 Saturn going down the freeway. Tires sound like a jet engine. If I veer to the left, it goes away.
Yeah, that's a wheel bearing.
Wheel bearing, yeah.
Yeah, that's a wheel bearing. You'd need to get that in because that can be very serious if that bearing gets really bad. The you know, it can cause other damage.
Yeah.
So get that in and get that wheel bearing replaced.
For those texts we didn't get to, I've printed them out. We're going to start the show next week with
them. Perfect.
That. All right. Have a good trip back and good luck with the.
Yeah, I hope my car starts.
I hope it does. You'll have to report back. How do we get in touch with Lloyd's though?
Give us a call next week at 651-228-1316. We're expanding next week because our new technician, Ryan, starts. So we're excited about that.
Say hi to Ryan. Good luck to Ryan.
Thank you.
All right. Very good.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.